Let's pray. Dear Father, you have words and they are not mine, and we desire your words and not mine, because your words are life, your words are truth, your words bring healing. And we pray that this morning your words would remain and my words would fade. In Jesus' name, amen. I love being here on a Sunday morning. I feel like I'm about to clip, Brayden. I don't know if I'm that loud. So this morning you'll see I've got something different. I planned a little bit for load shedding. I didn't plan my outfit so well. I am here. I might have gone a bit dark. There's a on a lighter note, let me share a picture my wife sent me last night. Technically, Moses was the first person with a tablet downloading data from the cloud. So this tablet's barely kicking. It might have been there with Moses, but it's got a backlight, and I can see. Maybe there are some who weren't even born yet when we got this tablet in 2010. Still going. We started a series last week, just looking at the gifts that God gives us, and I was just laying a bit of foundation. Last week, as we start on this journey, before I go there, I want to say a little bit why we are first doing a lot of foundation work. When someone talks about the gifts, they often just jump in and talk about the gifts, which is fine. We need to be equipped, but I'm spending some time cleaning the house a little bit. So this week, my wife cleaned John Murray's toys, my son John Murray's toys a little bit. He had so many toys, and so many of them were broken, and it was so much clutter that, notwithstanding the fact that he had all these toys, he was bored a lot. And the strangest thing, my wife cleaned out his toys, threw away probably 70%, and suddenly John Murray is playing with his toys, because the clutter is gone, and he's no longer bored. You see, over the years, we pick up a lot of clutter when it comes to the spiritual gifts and what God has given us. We pick up a lot of clutter, and we don't do the cleaning part, and then we get bored. Sounds crazy, but that's what happens. So what we're doing is, my heart is that as we are on this journey, as we are cleaning out a bit, there would be, if you do not have a love stirred for the gifts, that there would be a love stirred for the gifts. If you already have a love stirred for the gifts that God gives us, that you would be more so. But that either way, we would get rid of a lot of the clutter, and that we would end up using those gifts the way God intended them. So if you'll sign up for that with me, I am still looking at more or less the same verses we looked at in Exodus last week. See, last week I pointed out that without deliverance came possessions. If you look at the Exodus story, as the Israelites are leaving Egypt, their deliverance comes with gifts. They take a lot of gold and gifts. They receive a lot of gold and gifts and all kinds of things from the Egyptians. And that is it speaks to our own Exodus from slavery to sin and death. As God delivers us, he also does not leave us orphans. He gives us gifts, and we embark on this journey, this sojourning through this world into the next, with these gifts for a purpose. Just in case, if you were here last week, you would have heard a lot of the same things I'm talking about today. I'm gonna go with Paul here. Paul says in Philippians 3:1, he says, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. So if I'm repeating some of the things from last week, it's no trouble and it's safe for you. Okay. So let's start out again. I want you to keep this scripture before you as we go on this journey. If I can put up 1 Corinthians 10. As we go on this journey again this week, Listen to what Paul says, why we should really be intentional when we read the Old Testament especially. Paul says, now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. One of the examples early in 1 Corinthians 10 that he actually refers to is this whole situation with the golden calf. So it must be one of those examples. As we know Paul has definitely got in mind when he says this. Thank God that we can learn by instruction instead of example. What do I mean? I share this with the boys on Fridays here in the primary school often. I say, you can learn in two ways, according to me. You can learn by stupid, or you can learn by someone else's example. Learning by stupid is you have to suffer yourself. Okay? So I'm there to give them a little bit of inside track. You can avoid a lot of harm when I speak to them on Fridays. Paul is saying here, these things happened to them as an example. So they were like, whoa, that guy is no longer with us. He got swallowed by the earth. Let's not do that again. He was an example. For us, he's an instruction. Isn't that great? I'm relieved that we can learn by instruction. What I said last week as well, I said, when we come and we look at this pouring our gold, I think we missed, the title of this sermon is The Space Between. There we go. You'll see why. Keep that in mind. I'm talking about the space between. It's the space between when they were making the calf and when they were making the tabernacle. We are capable at any point in time of calfing or arcing. Any point in time. We could end up using the gifts God has given us to make an idol, a golden calf, or to be making an ark or the tabernacle. The ark and the tabernacle speaks of God's dwelling place in our midst. That's one another. It's not this building. We know this building is a school as well. It's the church, the ecclesia, the building up of one another. That is building up the tabernacle with your gift. Because we are capable of that, we should take heed lest we fall. You see, the golden calf was not a cause of their fall. It was the consequence of what was already happening in their hearts. There was already a golden calf in their heart. The golden calf that they made only reflected that. It was already going on. How did this happen? Well, if we look earlier in Exodus, it's not there. If you take a review, take a bird's eye view, they were slaves in Egypt. So how did this happen? How did they end up with an idol in their heart that they then eventually made an idol out of gold? How did this happen? They started as slaves in Egypt. And God delivers them with a mighty hand. Then they walk through the Red Sea. They eat manna from heaven. They drink water from the rock. They are victorious over the Amalekites. They respond to God's covenant. The first time God gives it to them, they are confident. We can keep this covenant. They've got leaders who eat in the presence of God. This all happens before the golden calf. What is that talking about? Well, these are all things God did, but what did they start thinking? They're taking names, people. They're taking that hill. They started to turn their worship from God towards themselves. They did not take heed lest they fall. So what does God do? God is aware that they have started forming this idol in their heart. And it's action after action. They've been going through deliverance, Red Sea, manna, water. It's just happening. It's just happening. It's happening. And then God waits. 40 days God is on the mountain with Moses. Because God wants them to know that there's an idol in their heart. He's not going to move from there. It exposed to them what was already in their heart. If we read now at Exodus 32, verse 1. What was the cause of them making the physical idol? It says, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. They were impatient with the progress when the people saw that Moses delayed. They come together. Listen, guys, we've been rolling with the punches. We've been, you know, taking names. We're going places, and suddenly now we're waiting. So they're impatient. They deceive themselves. The mountain is on fire because God is there speaking to Moses for 40 days. They can see. They know where Moses has gone. You see, if I lie to you and you believe it, and you tell someone else, you are deceiving someone else. You're not a liar. I'm a liar. But if I lie to myself and I act on that, I'm deceiving myself. So that's what they do here. As for this man Moses, we do not know what has become of him. They are causing the calf to form. They want to get going. They've got somewhere to be. You see, when we see the truth in the scriptures and we intentionally decide to go the other way, what does that make us? We are deceiving ourselves. Yeah? Be careful, a calf may be coming. Then we read further, verse 2. More signs. If we were to use this as an instruction for ourselves, here are some signs that a calf is forming. So Aaron says to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. If we were to take this as an instruction for what not to do, what are the signs that you are potentially building a golden calf? First thing, they must bring only the gold. In other words, only this is welcome. Only this gift is welcome. Only this one thing we do is welcome. There's no diversity. We do this one thing. Forget the other gifts. And if you don't have that, bad luck. And notice Aaron's language. He's forceful. I said this last week. He says, you must. He says, take off. There's no choice. Just take off. Bring it to me. Might be a sign that you're building a calf. Only the priest is allowed to do the work. Only Aaron does the forming, the work, the shaping, all of that. And then notice their response. Aaron does his thing, and they say, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up. And when Aaron sees this, it's like this cycle that starts repeating. Aaron's made the calf that they wanted, and they're like, wow, you're amazing, Aaron. And Aaron's like, yes, I am. And you know what? We're going to do this. Aaron saw this, he builds an altar. He's going to do the priest thing. He builds the altar and he makes a proclamation, he makes a rule. We're always going to do this. We're always going to do it this way. This is now the rule. And he says, tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord. Woof. He's just made the calf. And what were the consequences of this calf? We read on in verse 6. If those are signs that you might be potentially building a calf, Here are some consequences that say you've definitely built a calf. And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You see, they bring their thing, they bring their sacrifice, their offering, they do it quickly in the morning, and they're done. The rest of the day is mine. We do that separation between the sacred and the secular. You see, I did this for years. I was building this calf. Lord, I tithed, I served, and I attended. Now just leave the rest for me. What am I building? A calf. What happened to that calf that I was building? It was destroyed. My wife can testify to that. They rose up to play. It's lawlessness. They were doing whatever they wanted. Later, Moses, when he starts coming down, him and Joshua have this conversation, and he's like, it's a sound of war, and he's like, no, it's not. No, the people have just completely lost it. They are lawless. They are now a law unto themselves. The moment that you see lawlessness in your life, where you are a one who will decide, it's a sign that there's a calf that's been forming. And the most important sign here, remember their heart at the beginning of this exercise. If we can go back to verse 32, verse 1. It says, make us gods who shall go before us. Right? So that's the vision that they've cast. They do all of these things. What is the one thing that's lacking after they've built the calf? Progress. There is zero progress. They're still at the foot of the mountain. They have not moved an inch. There was a lot of activity, new activity, lots of activity. Really bad stuff happening, lawlessness happening, but there's no actual progress. There's no change. Okay. You're still with me. You guys coming back next week? Next week we'll be in Leviticus. I'm here to share good news, so let's get to that. A few chapters later, we see a different response. Same people, different response. Exodus 35. Moses said to the congregation of the people of Israel, this is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, and bronze. And it actually lists a whole lot of things. I read that last week, so I think, but it carries on. It's all kinds of material and wood and all kinds of gemstones and things mentioned there. And their response, we read in verse 21, and there came everyone whose heart stirred him and everyone whose spirit moved him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart brought. You see the contrast to the golden calf? God starts again. He starts here with a heart. He's looking for a generous heart, and he breaks it down. Says the generous heart is one that has been stirred for his dwelling place. A generous heart is one that the Spirit has moved by the Spirit. Spirit is moving and moving you for this thing that you want to do for God. And then a generous heart is one that's actually willing. You've been stirred. God's touched something in your heart. The Spirit's empowered you, and then you actually step out, and you're willing, you do it. Once again, I said this last week, they brought their gifts to the Lord, not to a man. They were various gifts, not just gold. See the contrast. The contrast to the calf, where they would only bring the gold. Now they're bringing all kinds of things they got from the Egyptians. A variety of gifts. like the varied grace of God given to each of us. Whatever is brought from a generous heart is what is acceptable to God. It does not matter whether it was the fur or the gold. If it came from a generous heart, it was acceptable to God for the building up of his dwelling place. And then there's one of my favorite differences. We read in verse 30 to 34. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill and with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood for work in every skilled craft. And he has inspired him to teach both him and Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan." So earlier, just Aaron does the work. Now, we've got these two guys specifically identified as craftsmen to do the work. They are filled with the Spirit. And they are craftsmen who could teach others to also do the work. So once again, it's not a one-man show. To build the tabernacle was not a one-man show. It was these two guys, they were filled with the Spirit. But did they stay the two guys that did everything instead of Aaron? No. No, they were filled with the Spirit and they taught others how to do the things that they have received. They made these intricate designs that remained a part of the ark and of the tabernacle and everything. Versus the calf, it wasn't a very intricate design and it obviously didn't remain. It was a very short stay. So in other words, whatever you brought to the calf was lost. But what you brought for the tabernacle, for the building up of God's dwelling place in our midst, it remained. In fact, you could see it. You could see it next week. You could see it 2 months from now. And as you were traveling through the wilderness, you would see, there is die stikkie lap wat ek gebring het. Dis daar op die paal. Ek sien hom. When we are bringing our gifts and building one another up, and you see that progress in your brother and sister, that's a good work. That's a good work. And then obviously we read in verse 7, I don't have it on there, about the fact that there was more than enough to go around. This week, I was building sandcastles again. You can see a theme. And John Murray and I, we built two sandcastles. There it is. Yeah. So you can see the one on the left is large and the one on the right is small. This is why I'm talking and I'm comparing and contrasting these two ways that the gifts were brought. John Murray said to me, "This is a great example of the difference between God's work and our work. The big one is God's work, the small one is our work." Notice the sun is about to destroy our work. Hope that speaks to you. It spoke to me. John Murray said, I said to him, "Dude, you just finished my sermon." He reminded me this morning. "Remember, I finished your sermon." What happened in the space between? What happened in the space between the calf and the tabernacle? Because if we want to be instructed by this whole account so that an example isn't made of us, if we want to be instructed, we should take note of the space between. There were 10 things, if you read between, that I identified, between Exodus 32 and 35. The first thing that happens is the stone tablet that God made. It's called God's handiwork. God shaped the tablet, he wrote on it, and then he gave it to Moses. That was broken. That's the first thing that happened. Second thing that happened, the idol was burned. The idol they had made was burned, was ground up, was destroyed, was lost. Then Moses took that gold dust and he threw it in their drinking water. That's the third thing that happened. They had to drink this water with this gold and this calf in. Gold is inert. In other words, if it goes through you, it passes. It goes the same. So they drank this water with the gold in it, and it passed through them. There is gold buried in those hills. You see, Paul in Philippians, when he compares his righteousness by his own attempts to keep the law versus the righteousness that is by Christ, he calls it rubbish. It's the nice English translation. I listened to a clip, I think the guy's called Lemmer Duplessis, hey, Dion? And he was saying, the word there is actually human refuse. So I think Paul was having this in mind, the gold that had passed. He was thinking, my own self-righteousness, my attempts at keeping the law is like that gold buried in those hills. You can go dig it up. I'm gonna pass. Next thing that happened. The Levites killed 3,000 with a sword to bring back the order from the lawlessness. Woof! See, that's when an example is made. There was a plague on the people. God says to them, I will not go with you. It's called, in the ESV, they translate it, says, when they heard this disastrous word, God said to them, I will not go with you. I will be separate. I will separate myself from you. They were stripped of the ornaments that they had been wearing, that they had received from Egypt while they were now waiting in the space between. In the space between, Moses is making intercession for them a couple of times. If you want to go and do a study of intercession, you can go and look at what happens between 32 and 35. Moses is going for it. Then the covenant had to be renewed again. So at the start of the space between and at the end of the space between, there's the stone tablets. The covenant had to be renewed again. This time, though, God says, bring the tablets and I'll do the writing. And once again, there was another 40-day wait. They had to do that again. This is all happening in the space between the calf and the tabernacle. What does it mean for us? Am I saying we must go through all of these things before we can build up God's dwelling? Because if that's what you're hearing, that's not what I'm saying. How do we cross the space between a calf and the tabernacle? What should we heed lest we fall? There is one. There is one who finished the work that the Father sent him to do. You see, the first tablets were made by God and God wrote on them. It's like the first Adam. It's made by God, but we broke it. The second tablet, we make the tablet, Moses makes the tablet, and God writes on it. It's like the second Adam, fully God, fully man. The one who brings an end to our religious efforts at earning righteousness by trying to keep the law for acceptance. There is one who drank the cup of God's wrath. There was one who was handed over by the priests to be killed. Let's go to the next slide. I've got them here. There's one whose stripes are for our healing from our plague of sin and death. There was one who was rich with all the ornaments of heaven, yet became poor for our sake, to the point of being naked on the cross, stripped of all. There was one who makes intercession for us still. There is one who established the new covenant in his blood. And there is one who endured 40 days of temptation, being tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You see, the space between is Jesus Christ. The space between our own efforts and being able to actually use our gifts for the building up of God's dwelling place with one another is a realization and a dependence on the work of Jesus Christ. He is the space between. He's the space between a heart that would use a gift to make an idol instead of building up God's dwelling place. You see, when we embark on this journey, because we want to discover what should we be obedient with the talents God has given us? But our obedience to building one another up should be from this place of dependence on the acceptance we have in Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do with your gift to earn salvation. Your obedience with whatever God has given you, whatever grace is on your life, is from a place of faith in what he has already done. He is the space between. Let's stand. Let there be light. Dear Father, as we come and as we are so often distracted by all the good things you have done, all the deliverance you've done, all the victories you've given us, all the manna and all the water from a rock, and where we can get distracted by these things, dear Father, and we can start thinking that it's about us. That it's about us taking that hill. And Father, where we daily are able to form these idols in our hearts. What I ask, Father, is as we are here this morning, that you would make Jesus Christ and the gospel of what he did for us, the things he suffered for us as the second Adam, for our acceptance, that you would make that again the place from which we bring our gifts to you. That we can respond looking at that space between. That we can respond and bring all that you have given us, whether it is gold, silver, stone, wood. That we can bring that with a generous heart, a heart that has responded to what you have done in the space between, Lord Jesus. I want us to take a moment and just respond. Whatever the Lord has pointed out to you this morning, maybe there's a calf coming. Bring that to him and ask him to take you to that space between, to Jesus Christ, to let you see the one who was willing to be sent to do all of those things on our behalf. Let's just take a minute and respond to whatever the Lord has pointed out to you this morning. I feel that there are some of us here, and you're saying, but look at all the loss I will suffer if I was to stop trying to do those 10 things myself. I have built this golden calf. What God is inviting you to is a dwelling place. He's inviting you to a dwelling place. Not to an idol. If that's you, just there where you are, just respond in your heart. Because today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow, like Aaron said, tomorrow we'll do a feast. I'll sort this out tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of rest. Because it's called today. Rest from all those things that they had to endure as examples that spoke about what he would endure for us. Just take a moment to respond to the Father inviting you to his dwelling place. If you're here and there has been no progress, and you have taken no progress to mean that this is your portion, I want to speak to you about that and say the Israelites moved when they were a part of this project, this building up this dwelling place. There was progress. They did not stay there at that mountain. And if that is you, and you have made an idol of there being no progress, and you have settled there, and every day you bring your sacrifice early, and then the rest of the day you just carry on. It is all day that is the day of salvation. He is with us all day. Not just in the morning, not just in the evening. If that word is for you, just acknowledge it between you and God. Say, Lord, that is me. I desire to move. He will show you.